Today's reading, this evening's reading, is from the Gospel of Mark, and it's verses 20 to 35. And now, if you take your pew Bibles, that's on page 838. Hope everybody's found that passage. Right. Then he went home, and the crowd gathered again, so they could not even eat. And when his family heard it, they went out to seize him, for they were saying, "He is out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem were saying, "He is possessed by Beelzebul, and by the prince of demons, he casts out the demons." And he called them to him and said to them in parables, "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but is coming to an end. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods, unless he first binds a strong man. Then indeed he may plunder his house. Truly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the children of man, and whatever blasphemies they utter, but whoever blasphemies against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they were saying, he has an unclean spirit." And his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent him and called him. And a crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you." And he answered them, "Who are my brother? Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking about at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother." This is the word of the Lord.
Lord, thank you for those words. Thank you for this wonderful service. And please may tonight, everybody here, may we know that we can say yes to being your brother, your sister, your mother, because of who you are and because of what you have done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Great. Well, we've already prayed for the Holy Spirit, for Roxanne and Josh and Jack. We've already said yes to the commissioning. We've thought about the baptism and the death and resurrection of the Jesus and the promises that we made and his promises to us. And we're now in this Mark chapter 3, which is the next episode as we're going through Mark on the evening. And I think, although I don't know if this was planned with the confirmation in mind, I think it's an incredibly appropriate reading, which may surprise you given what we've just been hearing. If you're familiar with the Gospel of Mark in the first two chapters, we've already heard that Jesus is about bringing God's kingdom here to us. He calls us to repent. We've already seen Jesus encounter Satan as Satan has decided to have a go at him, never mind us. We've seen healing, cleansing, the forgiveness of sins. We've seen people who are very, very unlikely, like Levi, being called. We've had controversy about festivals, Sabbath days. And as we heard last week, we've heard about Jesus creating a community, calling leaders. And what the core identity of that community is about following him. And tonight, we have a strange episode, which does in a way follow on from that, but it is so disrespectful to Jesus' family, it could not possibly have been invented, and the other Gospels don't include it. It tops and tails some other pretty strong stuff, and the question it raises in the minds of everybody who's listening is, who is this man's family? It turns out that it's not the natural brothers or sisters necessarily who think he is out of his mind because of what he's been doing. At the end there, verse 35, Jesus declares his family is the one who does the will of God. The one who does the will of God is my brother, my sister, my mother. And one of the reasons tonight is so fantastic and this reading is so appropriate is that Josh and Roxy and Jack, Josh and Roxy from a Christian family, which is good, very good, Jack not, but we are, and me not either actually, we are all brothers and sisters of one another because we are brothers and sisters of Jesus. And it's an amazing thing, which you might think is very obvious, but just notice this. If we are brothers and sisters because of Jesus being our brother, there's a level playing field. We are all one. And everything that Jesus has come to do, he's come to do for Josh and Roxanne and Jack, just as much as me and for you as well. And I think that's amazing. And I want us to think about that tonight, to hear what Jesus is saying about being part of his family. We've heard a bit from the testimonies and the significance of that. It's been wonderful, beautiful. But it's not just inheritance. It's us saying, as Jack and Roxanne and Josh have said tonight, I want to be somebody who is doing the will of God, me. I was thinking, how could I possibly include in this sermon some reference to Manchester City? Because if you will know, Josh and Jack there are keen members. And I did come across this. I'm a newcomer to Manchester, as you know, but it was great to discover that the club started at St. Mark's West Gordon in 1880. And as I was looking up the names of the first team who played in 1880, apparently against Macclesfield Baptist Church, if you're interested, four of the players at least were sons, two sons of the church warden and two sons of the organist. I don't know whether they got confirmed. I don't know whether they said, we want to be part of the will of God. But tonight we are thinking about us. We are praying for Jack and Roxanne and Josh, and we're thinking about us saying yes to the will of God. So that when we say, Lord, as we did in the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, in me. All right? And I want us to think about a little bit what that means. Lord, start with me. Lord, go on with me. Lord, show me what that means now as we go on from here. But here's the other reason why it's, in a way, a strange reading, but a good reading to hear tonight on this confirmation. Is that if we're going to do his will, if we want to be in his kingdom, if we want to be part of his family, we're not going to be in any doubt of what that is going to mean for us. Because the religious authorities They just didn't say he's out of his mind. They upped the ante considerably by saying, if this man thinks he can forgive sins, if this man is assuming some kind of divine authority over the Sabbath day, he's not just out of his mind, he is operating with an evil spirit, and not just any evil spirit, but the prince of demons. And again, you might have heard that reading before, but if you haven't, just feel the shock of people who are supposed to understand what God is about, who are supposed to be responsible for the religious community, who, after the things that Jesus has already been doing, accuses him of that. And notice what Jesus does. He doesn't call down fire from heaven on them. He doesn't go off in a huff. He doesn't return the insult with interest. He calls them to him. You want to call me names? You want to make the most appalling charges that you could possibly think of? Let's have a conversation about it, shall we? He takes them on, not in a rage, because he wants even people who think he's got an evil spirit to know who he is and why he's come. So I don't know whether we're in joke territory or he's making light of it. That's probably not quite what's going on. But he plays a bit of a game with them, you see. He's not fazed by them. He's not paralyzed by them, as we can be when people start name-calling us. He takes them on. How can hate drive out hate? How can lust drive out lust? How can jealousy drive out jealousy? How can lies drive out lies? They can't. And Satan cannot drive out Satan. It doesn't make sense. A kingdom that's divided, where people are at each other's throats, is a kingdom that has nothing and does nothing and will collapse. And Satan does not want his kingdom to collapse. And so he goes on in this parable, having kind of done a little logical game with them, to say Satan is a strong man, and the only way you deal with a strong man is to tie him up, to bind him. If you want to take on Satan's kingdom, you've got to be stronger, and then you can plunder his property. And Jesus is saying in terms here, I'm the person to do it, and that's what I've come to do. If you know who I am, if you are willing to let my will work in your life, you will take on Satan's kingdom, but you will do it in my power, and you will find that you can. Because though Satan wants you to think that he is stronger, he isn't. I am. And that's what I've come to do. And in these five verses, 22 through to 27, he spells it out. He doesn't have an evil spirit. He is the person who binds evil and who came to destroy it. And if you want to be Jesus' brother or sister or mother, then you will need his power in you in order to stand against Satan's kingdom. Jesus says to us, not only when we pray, your will be done, I will answer that prayer in you. When we pray, Lord, deliver me from evil, deliver us from evil, he will answer that prayer. That's what he's come to do. And if you're a religious leader or his family, you might be listening to him and you might be thinking, so tell me how. And the answer is that you need to go on reading the Gospel of Mark and you'll find out how. You need to meet Jesus yourself and let his Spirit come into your life, and you will find his power. Because Jesus binds the strong man, not by muscle and fist or by violent language, but by sacrifice and death and forgiveness. If you go to Colossians 2 and verse 14, the Apostle Paul sums it up in two stages. He says, when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, God made us alive together with Jesus. And as Jesus rose from the dead, that's why we baptize people, because Jesus invites us to be raised up with him, knowing that we can be forgiven. I know we often say it and it's true, but sometimes we just need to feel the magnitude that every single sin, the ones we know about, the ones we don't, the ones that are in our heads, the ones that are in our, they are forgiven. But it's not only that. In Colossians 2:15, Paul says, he not only forgave us, he disarmed the rulers and authorities and made a public example of them, triumphing over them on the cross. And what Jesus' death and resurrection have done is to disarm evil of its power and penalty. And when we identify with Jesus in his death and resurrection, we are freed from the power of the evil one who wants to control us and determine our destiny. And that's why Jesus makes this really scary statement about the eternal sin. Because he's saying to these scribes, if you call me evil, then you're denying the very person who is wanting to give you forgiveness. So if that's what you're doing, how can you be forgiven? Which is good news in a way, because if we're ever worried that we have committed that sin, we won't have done, because we will not be denying who Jesus is or denying that he is the one who has brought forgiveness. And that is the key to not committing that sin. But Jesus wants the scribes to understand the consequences of not knowing who he is or calling him something which is the absolute opposite of the reality of who he is. And because he died, and because he rose again, and because his Holy Spirit is given to us to be in our lives as we come to him in faith and repentance, the power of Satan is broken. And he intends us, by his Holy Spirit, to work his will in us. And that's why when I'm praying and the church is praying and when we say, Lord, please fill me with your Holy Spirit, we might have nice feelings and there might be lots of great things and joy, and praise the Lord for that. But it's not just that he wants us to know. If you're in the middle of some big temptation, and it may be something making you very angry, or it could be lust or something like that, or it could be jealousy or envy, stuff that gets a hold of us, and somehow we just think when it does, there's no way out. And Jesus is wanting to say to us, don't believe the devil's lies. Don't think there is nothing that can be done, because I have come, I've come. Satan thought he had won on the cross. He thought by killing me, he'd got me out of the way. He never made a bigger mistake. But because dealing with the consequence of our sin, we're free from its power and penalty. And because he is giving us his spirit by his resurrection, that resurrection power overcomes evil one and will take us through death itself. That is staggering, but it is true. Not because we want it to be true. Nobody who was standing around the cross ever imagined that that would be happening in 2 days' time. But they met him back from the dead. And they knew and proclaimed, as Paul and the others did, the reality of his power and the reality of his life, which goes beyond forgiveness into experiencing and doing the will of God in this world. It was great to hear your testimony, Josh and Roxy and Jack too. Like Jack, I wasn't brought up in a Christian home. I came to faith through teachers from my school, about the same age as Josh is now. And it took me a bit of time from hearing about the cross and asking Jesus into my life. And it took me a bit of time at home, at school, to kind of figure out what really following meant. And I think I found out later that my mum was a bit kind of, a bit like Jesus, you know, has he gone crazy? And we know that there are some dangerous religious stuff around this world, so it's not the craziest thing to think sometimes. But it was much, much later on that my mum said to me, she realized something significant had happened to me, because something, this is a 12, 13-year-old kid, I suppose. I know it's hard to imagine now looking at it. But she said to me, and this was a while later it was, but she said to me, I knew something had happened because of your anger. I had specialisms in blaming everybody else for what was wrong except myself, especially my two brothers, by the way. And I was great at storming upstairs and all the rest of it. I know it's hard to believe, but it's true. But the Lord, you see, the great thing about becoming a Christian for me and realizing that Jesus, A, was real, and that Jesus spoke truth into my life, and that he did that not to crush me, but to cleanse me and to renew me, meant that I could stop pretending everything was okay and start admitting what was wrong and start letting him work on some of my attitudes and feelings and everything else. And that changed the emotional landscape and meant that I had other ways of reacting to what other people may have been doing, particularly if I thought it was a bit unjust or a bit wrong. Anyway, please don't think that I've somehow achieved perfection, as Rosie will tell you that I have not. But we are work in progress. All of us, if we're Christians, we are. And I've heard people say, she or he is a different person. Something has happened. And it's pretty good, actually. One of the wonderful things for me was that actually my mum became a Christian later, and I was able to be a sponsor at her baptism, and actually we got confirmed together. So tonight has a kind of resonance and connection for me. And so really I just want to say to Josh and Roxy and Jack, tonight's about the reveling and the just receiving again the forgiveness of the Lord, but also a yes to his power at work within you through his Spirit to enable you in working out this will, and it'll be different for each one of you different times, that you'll not be paralyzed or crippled by thinking there's nothing I can do about the rubbish stuff or the wrong stuff. It may not happen immediately, and it can be something ongoing, as I can testify as well. But if we let the Lord work in us, he will work his good purposes and pleasure in us. People may think we're mad. There are plenty of people, probably at your school, and certainly in our Western world at the moment, as well in other cultures, who say Jesus is talking rubbish. All that stuff about the narrow way, you know, the Sermon on the Mount. Oh dear, we're past all that, aren't we? Jesus says, if you want the rock, if you want your life to be built on the rock and not on sand, let me show you how it's done. Let me forgive you, and let me work my will in your life by my Holy Spirit that I will give to you, and I will keep giving it to you. And if we follow the lives of those apostles who we were thinking about last week, and as we're going to think about the work of the Word of God in our lives in the weeks to come, you will find men and women who mess up, who don't get it, and Jesus deals with them in a way, in the same way as he dealt with those scribes. He takes us on. And we can throw all kinds of stuff at him, but he'll take us on. And he'll take us into that power and that will that belongs to his kingdom. And as we mentioned in our prayers, I don't know about you, as I think of people on our television screens consumed with hatred and anger and revenge, won't you let Jesus, who went into the middle of that cauldron to Calvary, let him show you the things that belong to your peace, the peace of the world, the peace of Jerusalem, the peace of Manchester, the peace of our homes, the inner peace of our lives. So to say, brothers and sisters, Jesus, I'm part of your family. Thank you for calling me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for letting me to know your will. And thank you for your Spirit to help me. And if anyone here tonight, and you're not, you know what I'm going to say. Let Jesus take you on. Talk to him. Bring to him your questions. If you want to accuse him of the worst thing in your head, that's okay. Do it. Let him, but then listen to what he says back to you. And let your life be changed in the way that theirs was. We know his natural family, certainly his mother, was there at the cross. And who knows what they came to do, like maybe my own mum. So, let me pray. Lord, thank you for these words from Mark's Gospel. Thank you that tonight, here in Manchester in Openshaw, we can celebrate being part of your family. Thank you for Jack and for Roxy and for Josh. We praise you so much for them and ask again your blessing upon them, that they will know your power at work in their lives, and that they will know your defeat of all that Satan will throw at them. And Lord, for each and every one of us, may we know that power. May we not give up. May we not be taken in by the evil one, but may call him out in the way that you did. Lord, we know it may take us to a cross. We know there's going to be death and resurrection for us too, but that's okay, because that's what you've done, and that's what you give. And whatever the death may be, the resurrection is your gift and promise. So we praise you, and we worship you, and we say thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.